there's no easy way to say what we're about to say.
We believe your wife is a German spy.
This year, the truth will be discovered.
I know for a fact you'll be proven wrong.
Allied, starring Brad Pitt and Marion Cotillard. Allied, in cinemas November 25th, rated TBC.
Hey, what happened to my kiss?
Wednesday, August 17, 2016, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly. You know, of course, we do this every single week. We get together, we talk sports, well, we make fun of people quite a bit. We enlighten the masses is what we do here. If you'd like to recommend the show to someone else, and we hope that you do, just let people know they can find the show in a number of places. The Daily Dose is on iTunes, it's on Google Play, it's on Stitcher, it's on Podcast Republic, it's pretty much everywhere. Of course, you can go over to our Daily Dose website, dailydosesports.wordpress.com, that is D-A-L-Y, Daily Dose Sports. You know, we have been actually pretty busy over at Daily Dose Sports. I don't know if you've been over to the site recently, but we have been busy posting our Daily Dose college football previews. We do those every single year. We do them, you know, Daily Dose style. You've got to go over and check them out. So far, let's see, we've done the ACC. ACC is up. The Big Ten is up. And yesterday, we did release our Big 12 preview. If you would like to check out each of those college football previews, I would encourage you to head over there and check them out. You know, our college football preview podcast is coming up in just a few weeks, as is our NFL preview. You are going to want to make sure to tune in for those. If you are interested in checking out how your favorite college football team, NFL team, is going to do this season, be sure to stop by the Daily Dose website. Be sure to check out the podcast each and every week. You don't want to miss anything. And of course, you are also going to want to stop by the RogueIntel.com site, where they are hosting a number of quality podcasts that you are sure to enjoy. Make sure you stop by over there. Duff does a great job of finding different kind of podcasts, different kind of niches, certain things that you are going to like over at RogueIntel.com. And you know, the great thing about RogueIntel.com, you can go over there and you can listen directly to the show right there. You don't have to download anything if you don't want. You can just listen to it right there, right then, which is kind of nice. So make sure that you do head over to RogueIntel.com. You know, it's been a while since we've had a podcast just talking about the latest news. You know, with summer being a little slow, we've done a few different kinds of shows. We've done a few different things. Of course, we sat down with University of Minnesota All-American gymnast Lindsay Mabel, got her thoughts on the Olympics. And I'm telling you, by the way, if you haven't heard it, go check it out. She nailed it. She said like 2 or 3 weeks ago that the U.S. women were going to crush in Rio, and they had definitely have done that. They definitely have been doing quite well in Rio. Of course, she also talked about, you know, what judges look for when they're judging these different routines in gymnastics. And I'll be honest, I didn't know that much about it. I actually felt a little more informed when I was watching the Olympics. Like, I'm watching, I'm looking for balance checks. I'm looking for their feet being together, for their knees not bending. It's kind of funny because just from talking to Lindsay, I felt like I was a little bit more informed when I was watching some of these events as a viewer. Kind of cool. And we also sat down with longtime friend of the show, one of our former callers, you know, to the Daily Dose, and he will check in every once in a while. Mike from Castle Rock came in, and we sat down and we talked about some of the best players in NFL history. We looked at the best players from each NFL team. Whatever your favorite team is, who is your best player in your team's history? We sat down and went through those. I did get some feedback on those. I actually want to read some of those. If you didn't get a chance to hear those shows, I would encourage you to go back. You know, go to RogueIntel.com, go to Daily Dose Sports, go to iTunes, wherever it is that you download. Find those shows because I think that you will enjoy those. I got very, very good feedback on both Lindsay and on those NFL shows. I would encourage you to go check those out. But I did get some feedback that I wanted to share with you. I got a couple of emails, got a couple of tweets that I wanted to read, and I'm not going to go through all the ones that I got. Of course, I got some of the, Cowboys suck, I don't care who their best player is. You know, I got some of those. Yes, I know. I feel what you're saying. When it's not your team, you know, we got a few of those. But I did get some feedback that I want to read to you just briefly before we get underway here. Here is an email that I got from Sean in Phoenix. And it says, Daily Dose, Loved your list of best players for each team, but come on. Right off the bat, I just read that first line, and I was like, oh, seriously? Is this where we're going? He said, okay, Daily Dose. Loved your list of best players for each team, but come on. Bo Jackson is clearly the greatest player in Raiders history. Keep up the great work. I would also love to hear your thoughts on the greatest quarterback for each team, too, at some point. You know, we may have to do that at some point. I don't know. Maybe someone else wants to come in. Maybe Mike wants to do it again. But I would love to sit down and discuss the greatest quarterback in each team's history. I think that would be a lot of fun. So that's a nice idea, Sean. I appreciate you sending that in. Here's the problem. Here's the problem with Bo Jackson. And I'll give this just a little bit of a personal note to this context. And I think Bo Jackson is one of the greatest athletes that I in my lifetime have ever seen. I appreciate what you're saying. I understand why you feel the way that you do. You know, it's funny because I write a number of articles, and just recently I had written an article probably in the last 3 months. I had written an article about a team, and we were ranking some of the best players in their history. We were ranking, you know, some of their best quarterbacks or some of their best wide receivers or whatever. And I had written one about the best tight ends in Denver Broncos history. And when I posted it, I had said, you know, we counted down like the top 10 tight ends in Denver Broncos history. And I listed a couple of them. And I post it and the article goes live or whatever. And I immediately got a comment and said, how did you leave so-and-so off the list and you put this guy on instead? And so I responded and I said, well, because the guy that I posted, the guy that I put up, he had like 180 catches in his career. And the guy that you're saying, he had like 24 catches in his career. Do you see the difference there? Like 180, probably better than like 20. And it was funny because his reaction was so real. His reaction was so honest. He said, oh, well, it's funny because I was just a kid when he played. And in my memory, he had like 24 catches in one game. Sometimes our memories are a little bit skewed. Like sometimes we're caught up in the emotion of sports. I've told you that before. We can't let sports always get, we can't get caught up emotionally sometimes. Like sometimes we get caught up so emotionally like, oh, he's the greatest player ever. Well, no, it's just an exciting game. And you're kind of caught up in the moment of it. It doesn't necessarily mean that he's the greatest player in the history of time. And so I sometimes with players and with teams, we get caught up emotionally with those situations. And I think that's a little bit of what happened with Bo Jackson. Like I said, I genuinely believe Bo Jackson is probably one of the greatest athletes I've ever seen. He was 6'1". He was about 230 pounds. And they say, I don't know how accurate this is, that he ran around a 4.1 40-yard dash. I have never seen his size and his combination of power and speed. I've never seen it before. It was absolutely incredible to watch Bo Jackson. Here is the problem with Bo Jackson for me. He played a total of 38 games. He played 38 games. So he played part of 4 seasons, like 9 games a year. 4 seasons. He never even broke 1,000 yards in a single season. So while I get what you're saying, he's an amazing specimen. We have this really small sample size. And for that reason, I can't possibly rank him up there with the Marcus Allens, the Tim Browns, the Cliff Branches, the Ken Stablers, the Dave Caspers, the Gene Upshaws, the Jack Tatums, the Howie Longs. Do you see what I'm saying? I get what I understand where you're coming from. Bo Jackson was absolutely incredible. And believe me, as a Bronco fan, I saw Bo Jackson literally run over Denver Broncos, step on their chest, and keep on going. So I get what you're saying with Bo Jackson. He was amazing, but he barely played. Bo Jackson had 18 total touchdowns in his NFL career. I mean, Marcus Allen had 97 just in a Raiders uniform. Bo was great. Bo was a phenomenal player. Bo was a phenomenal athlete. But he can't be on this list. I understand what you're saying. Can't be on this list. Sean, thank you for the email. I genuinely do appreciate it. I love the thought, and I'm glad that you brought up Bo Jackson. I think he's a tremendous athlete. Just doesn't belong on the greatest all time. He just didn't do it for a long enough time. And there is something to be said for longevity when you are talking about greatest of all time. Here's another email that we received. Clint and Mike, I know I'm a little bit older, but you definitely should have had quarterback Bob Waterfield on your list for the Rams. He is the first rookie ever to win the league MVP. I think he's actually the only rookie ever to win the league MVP. And he won the championship that year, too. He was ahead of his time. That is from Lance in Columbus, Ohio. Lance, thanks very much for your message. Waterfield was pretty good. Waterfield's pretty good. A similar situation to Bo Jackson. He played 91 games, better than Bo's 38. Didn't play a huge amount of time. Threw for 97 touchdowns. He had two championships. Three times he was an all-pro. I suppose we could mention Bob Waterfield. Here is my drawback with Bob Waterfield and why probably, I didn't mention him. I can't speak for Mike, but why I didn't mention him on my list. You know, in his best season, he threw 17 touchdowns. Yes, he was ahead of his time in that he threw the ball a little bit more than some of the guys back. Because Bob Waterfield is going back to like the 40s. Like, we're going back a ways. Like, we're going back to like Hitler being in power when he was playing. Completely different league, completely different era. But his best season, he threw 17 touchdowns, and he also threw 17 interceptions. He only had one season in his entire career that he threw for more touchdowns than interceptions. And that was in 1951. He threw 13 touchdowns to just 11 interceptions. I'll give you, yes, I suppose we could have mentioned him. Is he better than Deacon Jones, Merlin Olsen, those guys? No. Eric Dickerson? No. He's not in that class. But I will give you this. And Lance, I do appreciate your email. Bob Waterfield, you might not know this, Bob Waterfield married his high school sweetheart. And her name was Jane Russell. Yes, for that, I'll give Bob Waterfield some big props for Jane Russell. Have you seen Jane Russell? You might have to go back and Google that. You might be a little too young. But hey, for that, no, we'll give him some props for that. Jane Russell was spectacular. Not sure about the football, but hey, nice pull there. Attaboy, Bob Waterfield. I'll definitely put you on my list for that. Hey, the Olympics are finishing up. NFL football is underway, sort of, I guess, kind of. And, you know, I might have a college football or maybe a Major League Baseball story to get to. I know. Don't hold your breath on Major League Baseball, but I might be able to get to that. And, of course, today, we will have our Daily Dose Top 5. You always want to be sure you stick around for that. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
Movies, anime, comics, video games, and pop culture. These are but mere playthings for the manliest beings in all of podcasting history, the Powerful Nerdcast. Hosted by the gurus of geekdom, Corey and Christian, join them each week to discuss all things nerd culture, everything from Star Wars to Dragon Ball Z, and everything in between. Find the Powerful Nerdcast on the Rogue Intel Podcast Network at rogueintel.com.
Do you like beer? Beer. Do you like rock and roll? I'm allergic to penicillin. Do you like drunk Australians? Beer. Do you like interviews with bands exploring facets of entertainers' lives best left to the imagination and possibly not presented on a radio show? I don't know where this is going. Jump on rogueintel.com/remedium.
What's up, guys? Be sure to check out Now That I'm Older on the Rogue Intel Podcast Network. Me and Kenny sit down and talk about how getting older sucks, but can be awesome at the exact same time. We also look at pop culture, review a few movies, share some personal stories, and just basically poke fun at the world around us. Be sure to check out Now That I'm Older on the Rogue Intel Podcast Network.
Yeah, every time I go to get new body armor or some more drones, I always go to Amazon. But I don't just go to any Amazon. I go to rogueintel.com/Amazon. So this way I can help out my favorite podcast with every purchase I make. And I know I purchase a lot. Get to the chopper now.
So like I said, we've had a few shows where we haven't had, you know, the breaking news and some of the most recent stories. Need to go back and touch on a few things. Of course, the 2016 Olympic Games in Rio are rolling along. And of course, Team USA is dominating, as we are wont to do during these Olympic Games. You know, we aren't quite doubling the medal count of second place, But we're close. We're close. I think we're something like 84, and the next closest is, I don't know, maybe closing in on 50. So we're close. You know, I'm not thrilled with the NBC Olympic coverage, I'll be honest with you. I was out in California last week, out on the left coast. And I'm telling you right now, if you aren't out there, the Pacific time zone coverage is brutal. It is horrible. So Rio is, what, 4 hours ahead of the West Coast time zone, I think? It's not like it's New Zealand. It's not like it's Australia. It's clear around the world. It's like 4 hours ahead. But NBC is showing the replays of these events like 6, 7, 8 hours later. So you already know who won everything. But they're not showing it, and they're wanting you to stay up to like 11:30 at night to watch these. People do have to get up and work. Like, this isn't a weekend for everybody. You already know what happened. Like, I already know who won. I've gotten the alerts. I've seen it on ESPN. There's all the crawls going across. Like there's a ton of information out there. I don't have to stay up and watch it necessarily. And then they hold it out and show it as late as possible, see if they can just keep viewers there all night. Yeah, that's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Too many people are going to turn off their TVs, especially in California, where they really probably don't care that much anyways. Of course, one of the biggest stories is that we are seeing some of the greatest performances ever. Ever. Let's be honest. In the history of the Olympics, I mean, Michael Phelps, what he has done has been amazing. Usain Bolt, of course, he's getting ready now to run the 200. I saw how fast he was in the 100. And how he just caught up and passed everyone in the 100. What's he going to do if you give him another 100 meters? Yeah, that's not even going to be close. Simone Biles, I believe, picked up another gold earlier today. She's been great in gymnastics. The USA gymnastics team was amazing, just like Lindsay Mabel said they would be. Andy Murray in tennis, dominating. Seen a great performance there. Lily King, Katie Ledecky. I mean, we are seeing some historic events. But isn't that kind of the point? I know everyone is going, you know, we are seeing the greatest performances in the history of the Olympic Games this year. Well, yeah, of course we are. We're bigger, we're stronger, we're faster. Hopefully we're smarter. Hopefully we're training harder, and I think we're training smarter than we ever have. So are you really surprised? Like, I'm hearing stuff on talk radio, and they're talking about, could this be the greatest Olympics ever? Some of the performances we're seeing, yeah. I mean, we evolve as people, right? We get better. We get bigger. We get faster. That's what we do. And I'm sure back in like 392 BC, like people were watching, I don't know, Kaniska or something in like ancient Greece run 100 meter in like 17 seconds. And they were going, you know, I don't think anyone's ever going to be faster than Kaniska. Oh, sure, he's probably on some sort of Roman substance. But I'm telling you, that's the fastest human being on the planet. I don't think they'll ever get any better. You know, I'd stay and watch him run the 200 meters, but this field at Olympia just has way too many commercials. I'm not going to stay. That's what we do. Why are we so shocked when at the Olympics we're better than we were 4 years before? Of course we're better. We should be better. If we're not, I'm getting a little bit scared about the human race. I'm going to be honest. We want to see the advancements. Don't be so shocked by it. It's not that big of news. Yes, 4 years ago, we're a little bit faster than we were 4 years ago. Now, not all of the news out of Rio has been good. We've seen some bad things. We've seen some ugly things. Of course, USA women's soccer, they didn't do so well, did they? They get knocked out earlier than they ever have been knocked out in Olympic history, in the history of the sport. They lost to Sweden in the quarterfinals. Not good. But to be honest, they hadn't been playing well in the Olympics. I'd watched a couple of their games. They tied Colombia. They just barely slipped by France. Look, here's the deal. You don't lose players like Abby Wambach, Megan Rapinoe, Sydney LaRue, and not miss a beat. That's just, it's impossible. I know we sit there and we say, well, they have talent. They just reload. That's what we always say. Oh, they're so talented. They just plug someone new in. Well, you don't just plug someone new in. And I don't care if it's at the professional level, at the collegiate level, at the high school level, it makes no difference. At the Olympic level, experience, knowledge, toughness, it counts. And it comes up big in games like when we saw them get beat by Sweden. Are you telling me someone like Rapinoe or Wambach or LaRue, one of them wouldn't have made a difference against Sweden? They absolutely would have. And instead, they're kind of grasping at straws. We saw Hope Solo. She's angry. I hope she's angry. I hope she's embarrassed. You lost to Sweden. you're supposed to be Team USA. You're not supposed to lose to anyone. So I didn't have a problem with her getting mad. Just, you know, play better and you wouldn't be dealing. But if you thought there wasn't going to be a little bit of a step back for that team, probably a little bit naive, a little bit not thinking clearly, maybe trying to be a little bit too positive. Doesn't matter how talented you are. You clearly missed some experience and some toughness from those players. Team USA basketball, the men's, now the women's side, we should be talking about the women being the dream team. The women are absolutely dominating. They are crushing everything. But the men's side, they're struggling a little bit. I'm going to be honest. I have not been that impressed with the Team USA men's side. I mean, they barely got by Australia. Yes, it was 10 points. It was a lot closer than 10 points. Serbia had a chance to beat the United States. France had a chance to beat the United States. Next up for the Team USA is Argentina. I don't know. This team doesn't look that good. They don't look... They're talented, don't get me wrong. They don't play that well together. And in the game of basketball, if you don't have five moving as one, you're going to struggle. And when I see Kyrie Irving just dribbling and dribbling and dribbling and dribbling and just playing one-on-one, I actually gain a little bit more respect for LeBron James and how he dealt with that. Because I'm watching him play against the European teams and some of these other teams. If they had just a little bit more talent, the USA would be struggling to win a medal. They're not that great. I would not be surprised to see this team get beat once. Of course, the big news last week was when Carmelo Anthony said, hey, I've already won, you know, some gold medals. This is going to be my third gold medal. And it's just as good as winning an NBA championship. I understand, I guess, what he's saying. And I think what he's saying is I play for the New York Knicks. You know full well I'm not going to win an NBA championship anytime soon. But you can't say that. You just say, hey, we're with the Knicks, and I'm going to keep trying, and hopefully we get it done. But what I'm wondering is, well, what if they don't get the gold medal? Is that as good as an NBA championship? Like, what does a bronze medal mean to you? Is that like, well, we made the playoffs. Where does a silver? Let's say somehow Team USA actually loses again. I don't think they will. I think they'll hold on. I just think we're not going to have the blowouts, obviously. They've played some close games already. And don't sleep on anybody. Might be a little bit tighter than what we thought. But, like, what if they come home with the silver? Then is Melo just thrilled with that? Well, guys, we got the silver. It's all good. I play for the Knicks. It's better than what we do with the Knicks. This is like the first few games he's won in a while. Like, cut him some slack. He's so excited just to be winning games. He's been in New York. He hasn't won anything. Of course, we've been expecting, you know, some issues with a number of things in Rio. We expected some issues with the water. Let's be honest. I mean, there were reports of bodies floating and contamination in the outdoor water. But somehow, it's not the outdoor water that's been in the news. It's the water inside that has been an issue too. Because the Marla Lank Aquatic Center had to drain a couple of their pools because, well, a few of the pools had turned green. So diving, synchronized swimming, and water polo have been affected. They've had to drain the pool, nearly 1 million gallons, clean the pool, refill the pool. I don't know what it did because I'm watching some of the diving and stuff, and you still can't see into the water. Like, it's just solid green. Like, you can't even look through it. It's brutal. So I don't know exactly what they did. They've drained it, and doesn't it seem like they're kind of wasting water at this point? Like, I don't know that they have the water to be draining and refilling pools. They're having enough problem, it looks like, down there, just to find enough water to drink. Like, you can't drink the water down there. You've got to have bottled water. I dare anyone to go down to Rio right now, just dip your hand in and take a slurp. Because you're probably going home in a body bag. They're claiming, the Olympic Committee at least is claiming, that some hydrogen peroxide accidentally got dumped into the water. And I'm not sure what's more disturbing. The fact that the pool looks like a swamp, or the fact that everyone is saying that the pool smells like farts. That's not hydrogen peroxide. That's not going to be good for anybody. So let me get this straight. I train for 4 years. Like, every day I'm training, I'm working, I'm going to the Olympics, I'm going to be a diver, I'm going to be a water polo player, whatever it might be, synchronized swimmer. I'm working every day, 365. all the time, trying to get better, trying to get better. And when I get there, the pool looks like Shrek has been peeing in it for like a month. I'm telling you right now, I am not happy. I am not happy one bit. When I get out of that pool, I better have some superpowers. I better have like a cool third eye something. You know, I've swam in the kiddie pool at like a Disneyland resort and it never turned green on me. Something's going on down in Rio and I would be scared to death. Lastly, down in Rio, there's been a little bit of crime. Four swimmers, including American medalist Ryan Lochte, were allegedly robbed at gunpoint on Sunday morning. They say some money was stolen. I don't know ever whether to believe Ryan Lochte or not. Like, he seems to tell some stories. I can't tell whether or not to believe him. He says that it was like someone impersonating an officer pulled them over, and then they came back there. They said, give me your money. And Lochte said, I'm not giving you anything. And then they put a gun at his forehead, and then he said, okay, take whatever, and they made away with the money, whatever. I never know whether to believe Ryan Lochte. He lives his life as though it's like a reality TV show. And it might just been to drum up ratings. I don't know. The Olympic Committee, of course, is denying it. But we also know that they aren't the most honest either. So we've basically got liar on liar crime going here. I don't know who to believe. But here is one story that came out of the Olympics that they claim is actually true. Last Monday, Belgian Olympian Dirk Van Tichelt. I think that's how you pronounce his name. He was robbed of his cell phone while walking down the Copacabana beach. He was actually kind of celebrating. He had just won a medal. He was kind of celebrating on Copacabana beach. He was robbed of his cell phone. And then Dirk Van Tichelt, he proceeded to chase the robber to a hotel where he believes that the robber entered the hotel. He broke into the Rio Best Western and got into a fight with the hotel receptionist over whether or not he could come in or not. A few problems with this story. One, whoever this person that supposedly stole the cell phone got away. Two, he lost the fight and ended up with a swollen black eye. Now, here's the problem with the story. Dirk Van Tichelt had just won the bronze medal in Olympic judo. Isn't judo supposed to prevent all this? Like, when they're spinning why your kid should take judo, they say, like, well, say you're watching down the beach and someone tries to steal your cell phone. You're just a 98-pound weakling. What would you possibly do? You need judo. This guy had done more than take a few classes. He's an Olympic medalist. And whoever this robber was, they claim was a female, stole the cell phone and got away with it. What is judo teaching you? You're getting nothing. And it's not like you're sort of like, well, I took a class. Like, I took a karate class and I didn't get that much. This is an Olympic medalist in judo. And he got his cell phone ripped from him. Not the worst. Then he goes in and gets beat up by the hotel receptionist. First off, who is the hotel receptionist? Why is Chuck Norris working as a hotel receptionist in Rio? So many things about this story just they don't make any sense. Like, I don't understand what is going on in Rio. That is a crazy. Is Chuck Norris the receptionist in Rio? Is there any way he could maybe pee in the green pool and make it clear again? I don't know. I'm just asking. All right, we gotta get up past the Olympics. I'm over the Olympics for now. I'm watching a few of the closing things. I want to watch Usain Bolt, and then I'm done with the Olympics. Another 4 years. All these sports are going into the cave again. Let's move on to the NFL preseason. The NFL preseason got started this past week, and we're so excited for it. But you know, preseason is tough. Preseason is tough because we're jonesing so bad for some NFL football. Like, oh, please, just let some NFL football. You know, the starters play for like a series, maybe two series. And then it's just this mess of backups and like mistakes and missed assignments and penalties and the refs are bad. You always have the local announcers that are filling in. Like, you don't have the national announcers. You have like the local guy. He does the news. And then he's also going to do like the sideline reporting. Guys, yeah, up in the booth. Yeah, I've got a report. I've got a report down here. Mark Sanchez, he appears to be on the bench rehydrating. It looks like he's sipping some water. Nope, it's Gatorade. He's sipping some Gatorade. Thanks. I'm glad that everybody's clicking on all cylinders for this one. It's good stuff. Brutal. And you know the bad thing is we're so starved for football, we will sit and watch it. It's still football, right? I mean, yes, it's like Matt Barkley versus Connor Cook, but hey, it's still better than baseball, so we watch it for like 20 minutes, and then we change the channel, and then we fall asleep in our lounge chair, take a nap, wake up with crumbs all over us. It's a mess. Then what we end up doing, we end up switching over to Hard Knocks on HBO because it's actually maybe a little more interesting. Did you watch Hard Knocks? Hard Knocks, second episode now, is coming tonight. In fact, it's getting ready to start right now. I'm going to go watch that. I watched the first one. I've told you before, I love that show. The unfortunate part is that they're following the Los Angeles Rams this year. And I told you I was just out in California. And I'm telling you right now, they are jamming the Rams down everyone's throat down there. Like, you walk into just like a grocery store, there's Rams stuff everywhere. You walk into like a department store, there's Rams stuff everywhere. I'm like, I don't think there's that many Rams fans out here, are there? Like, there's a few. But like, I know young people, the Rams, they know, they're from St. Louis. They have no bond with that team. They're Raiders fans or Niners fans or Chargers fans or let's be honest, it's California, whoever's winning fans. But I don't know. It's not that interesting to follow a 500 team around. And so far, at least in the first episode, there's been a little less football. Like, it feels like ESPN is producing this. We're going to put together like a politically correct kind of show. It's not really going to show, you know, really any football. We're going to try to make a soap opera out of it. Come on, pick it up a little bit. So far, we've seen a lot of slow motion sprinklers. I don't know if you're watching Hard Knocks. They've started to do this more and more every year. I feel like every season it gets a little bit more where the sun is coming up, the sun is rising, and then the sprinkler, and it's like slow motion. You see the sprinklers, the water's spraying. Okay, enough of the sprinklers already. We get it. You water the grass. Can we get to some football? A lot of time-lapse videos. The sun goes up. The clouds roll in. Guys run into each other. The sun goes down. Everybody goes to bed. Yeah, it's nice. It's all right. But can we get to some actual stories? I'm hoping it changes. I'm hoping tonight's episode is a little bit better. Here's a few things that we have learned so far in the first episode, though. Rookie quarterback Jared Goff, he's never huddled. Like, he has no idea how to huddle. He doesn't know how to bring the guys in and call a play. They're telling him, okay, here's the play. It's like 48 scat Y rocket left on two. And he's like, what? What did you say? I didn't understand any of those words. He doesn't know how to huddle. He's struggling a little bit with that. We've also learned that he doesn't know how to take a snap from center. So the center actually comes up to him and is like, hey, middle knuckle right in my butt crack. That's what you have to do. And he's like, what? Like, he doesn't know how to take a snap. He's always been in shotgun. His whole life he's been in shotgun. And that's phenomenal at the high school and collegiate levels. But in the NFL, sometimes they kind of want you under that center. Your running backs want to kind of read what the line is doing before you hand them the ball. So you've got to be under center. That's going to be an adjustment. It's going to be a little bit tough. I told you a few weeks ago, I think Jared Goff has a chance to be a bust. I don't know. Doesn't look great so far. But here's the thing that most disturbs me. One of the coaches asked Jared Goff where the sun rises and where the sun sets, and he didn't know. They were like, well, what direction? He's like, I don't know. Like, it rises somewhere. I don't know. Like, he had no idea. Dude, he went to Cal Berkeley. How do you not know that? Like, you'd think that would be on some sort of initial testing to get into college. Any idea where the sun rises? No idea. And before that, he went to Marin Catholic High School in Campfield, California. And before that, I don't know, he like saw the sunset one time and went, oh, look, that's west. The education system has failed Jared Goff. And he's just not very bright. That would concern me a little bit. Was not all that impressive in his first game. They played the Dallas Cowboys. He was 4 of 9 for 38 yards. He did have one interception. I'd be a little bit concerned if I'm a Rams fan. I'm not I'm not hitting the panic button yet, but man, there's some things this guy doesn't seem like he's prepared for. And knowing which side of the earth the sun comes up on is one of those things. You know, the San Diego Chargers, once again embarrassing themselves. Top pick, defensive end Joey Bosa, is holding out. And I know when we hear that a professional athlete is holding out, the first thing we know, oh, these spoiled athletes. Always wanting more money. I know, that's our first reaction. But I got to be honest, I'm not sure I blame Joey Bosa here. I don't know if I blame him. So here's the deal. And you might hear a number of things. I'll try to make this as simple as I can so you understand why Bosa is holding out. The current NFL CBA, the agreement that they have was supposed to get rid of these rookie holdouts. Remember back in the 80s? Every single rookie that got drafted high, like the top picks, you knew they were going to hold out for like a month. It was just a done deal. Well, the current CBA tried to get past that. They were trying to get rid of these rookie holdouts. So what it is you get paid based on what slot you were drafted in. Fine, that's not that. If you're the third pick, you get paid like a third pick. If you were the fourth pick, you get paid like a fourth pick. Set amount of money. Not that hard. But the San Diego Chargers want offset language in his contract that would allow them to get a refund if Bosa is released and signs somewhere else in his first 3 years. Well, if he signs somewhere else in his first 3 years, then you haven't done your homework and you've released him. This is a guy you targeted. This is a guy you went and got. If you release Joey Bosa after, you know, in his first 3 years and he goes somewhere else, that's on you. That's not on him. San Diego also would like to defer some of his signing bonus into next year. Now, I understand every franchise has their flaws. I understand that every franchise, they're trying to, you know, run it financially responsible. Really? Trying to defer a rookie's signing bonus to the next year? And Chargers management says, well, hey, this is how we've always done it. This is how business is done in San Diego. First off, that's a horrible argument. That's a horrible argument. That's the way we've always done it, so we can't change. See, that's a valid argument if you're like the Steelers or maybe the Cowboys. I don't know, the Broncos, maybe the 49ers or the Packers. Then I might listen to that a little bit. But you're the San Diego Chargers. Every single season of your entire existence has ended in disappointment. Pick a season. I'll promise you, you ended up disappointed. So don't give me, this is how we've always done it. Like somehow you know what you're doing, you've got a successful track record. Because your track record is like a hot pile of garbage. See, other teams pay their bonuses, and they don't ask for the offset language. Let's look back at Charger history. Sorry, Charger fan, we have to do this to you. Sorry to dredge up the past here, but we've got to look back at a little bit of San Diego Chargers history. Here's some of the rookies they've had in the past. In 2001, the San Diego Chargers drafted LaDainian Tomlinson. He held out for 30 days. 30 days. Okay. Now, LaDainian Tomlinson, for me, was like a can't-miss guy. I'm getting him signed to whatever I need to get him signed to. 2002, Chargers signed Quentin Jammer. He missed 50 days holding out. 2004, the San Diego Chargers, they drafted Phillip Rivers. He sat out for almost a month, 25 days. 2005, they drafted Sean Merriman. He sat out a week. And now we've got Joey Bosa. Do you see the track record? Like they're saying, well, this is how we've always done it. Yeah, and you've always sucked. It's not good. And as quick as we are to say, well, Bosa's probably holding out for more money. He's being selfish. He's one of these selfish, spoiled players. No. This is exactly why you're the San Diego Chargers. This is exactly why you just never quite get over the hump. Why you've been to one Super Bowl in your history and why you're never truly a contender. Because you run your front office like you're back in the 30s. San Diego fan, I feel for you. I feel for you, San Diego fan. If I were you, I'd go pick another team. You can jump on the Broncos bandwagon if you want. Speaking of the Broncos bandwagon, we did see a little bit of Paxton Lynch in their first preseason game. I'll be honest. I wasn't that overly impressed with him. They played Chicago. Denver Broncos faced Chicago in their first preseason game. Paxton Lynch came in a little bit in the second half. I was not overly impressed. I thought he looked like a young kid that didn't quite have it. He's not ready for prime time. Let's say that. But one team that was of interest, at least to me, was the Houston Texans. Because we know they went and threw over $70 million at Denver Bronco backup quarterback Brock Osweiler. Brock Osweiler went down to Houston. He's going to be the guy. He's the new franchise quarterback. 4-year contract, $72 million. Didn't look so good against the San Francisco 49ers in the first preseason game. And I understand. I'm not going to get too up or down about a preseason game. I'm not going to get too excited. If he would have gone out and lit it up, I wouldn't have got too excited. He went out and didn't look particularly good. He was he completed 4 passes, 27 yards. Longest drive was 7 plays. He had a 12-yard completion. Didn't look that great. They ended up getting him out of there. Here's the thing I think that everyone has to remember about Brock Osweiler. We don't know what we're getting. We have no idea what kind of quarterback he is. And to be real honest, in the situation where he was at with Peyton Manning, he was in kind of a nice situation because they didn't ask him to do anything outside of what he could do. He's going down here now with the Texans. They're asking him not just to be the guy on the field, not just to be the leader, lead us to scores, lead us. They're also asking him to be the franchise guy. You've got to talk to the cameras. You've got to be the spokesman. You've got to be the leader. He has no idea how to do those things. It's going to take him a while. I'm not saying Osweiler is going to be a complete bust in Houston. I'm saying we don't have a clue what he's going to do in Houston. He's got a very good defense down there. Getting a little bit of help on the offense. He's got a good wide receiver. He's got maybe they got Lamar Miller down there. He showed pretty well the other night. But Brock Osweiler, we have no idea what he's going to do. They did a sideline interview with him. He looked like a deer in the headlights. Like he looked like he had no idea what he was doing. That would concern me a little bit. I'm not completely sitting here saying Brock's going to be a bust, but that was a lot of money you threw at a guy that doesn't really have any experience. He didn't have any experience, much experience with the Broncos. He played, 7 games? And some of those games were where he got in spot duty. He didn't play that much in college. He hasn't played that much in general. We have no idea what we're getting with Brock Osweiler. $72 million? It's a lot of money. That's a lot of money to give a guy that has not been proven at all. Okay, go ahead and write it down. Write it down. We're going to talk some baseball here on the Daily Dose. Mark it down. Well, we're sort of going to talk some baseball here on the Daily Dose. Big news last week. Former NFL quarterback Tim Tebow announced he was pursuing a career in baseball. In baseball, not in football, in baseball. Apparently, for the past year, Tim Tebow has been training in Arizona and Los Angeles, and he's going to try to make a run at making a pro roster. You know, Tebow hit almost 500 as an all-state high school baseball player, thinks he still has a little bit left. He obviously is not getting the chance in the NFL that he wants. So he's going to go out and try to make a Major League Baseball team. Or somewhere in their farm system, I don't know. Can he make it? I'll be honest, I doubt it. There's too many guys out there that have been working on their game 7 days a week, 365, all the time, for more than just a year. But I thought it was interesting. I thought it was interesting. And I know this story's a little bit old. Maybe you've heard about it already, and maybe you're sick of hearing about it. I understand. The reaction to Tim Tebow is always intense. You're either all for it, and, oh, he's going to be great, or you're completely against it. Oh, he's a joke. I heard people in the media actually say that Tim Tebow is making a mockery of baseball. If he gets a chance, he's going to get a chance that some other guys don't get. He's making a mockery of baseball. Hold up a second. America's former national pastime that is now getting beat in TV ratings by So You Think You Can Dance reruns. They need help making a mockery of themselves. Major League Baseball does a pretty good job of making a mockery of themselves. The Tampa Bay Rays are averaging 16,000 fans per game. That's a mockery. High school football games draw more than that. They're getting 16,000 fans per game. He's going to make a mockery of that? He's going to make that somehow worse? You could have a grizzly bear ride a unicycle out into the field to play third base. It wouldn't be any more of a mockery than that is already. Come on now. Now, I don't have any idea what Tebow's agenda is. I don't think he makes it. There's too many talented baseball players out there. But a mockery? Major League Baseball is already making a mockery of itself. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Somebody saying that Major League Baseball, that Tebow could make a mockery of Major League Baseball, it's just funny. That sport is a mess. The best that sport ever was when everybody just had a hypodermic needle hanging out of their butt. That was when it was at its top. That was when it just got no better. Guys were just crushing the ball out of the park every single night. Scores were football scores. It was like 24-21. That was when baseball was gay. Can we bring that back? Can we just get steroids back in baseball and just embrace them? Stop acting like there's something horrible and something bad about them. Let's just bring them back and let's just make them mandatory. That would make baseball great. All right. There's your baseball talk. Got that out of the way. I think I might have to have John back on, do like a mid-season baseball talk a little bit. Got a lot of things coming up. I don't know if we're going to be able to work that out. We've got a lot of things coming up. Got college football coming up. We got pro football coming up. Of course, Major League Baseball is getting into. Now we're actually starting to get a little bit interesting. Playoff races are shaping up. Got some good things coming. Exciting to be here on the Daily Dose with you. Now, as we do every single week, we have got to get to our Daily Dose Top 5. You never know which way it's going to go, but this week, we are going to go with the Daily Dose Top 5 most decorated U.S. Olympic athletes in history. Now, when I did this, I'll be honest, it's not my opinion. Like, I kind of combined who had the most golds and then versus who had the most overall medals in U.S. Olympic history. And it's pretty cut and dried. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say the guys that are at the top of this list are the greatest Olympians ever. I don't know. Obviously, there's been some phenomenal Olympic athletes from other countries that aren't on this list. But the guys on this list, the people on this list that did make this list, pretty good company. Pretty amazing group of Olympic athletes. Let's take a look at the top five most decorated U.S. Olympic athletes in history. We don't usually do it. We usually shy away from honorable mentions, but I got to throw out an honorable mention. I got to throw out an honorable mention on this list. Because the honorable mention on this list goes to Ray Urey. Ray Urey, you've never heard of him, right? I had never heard of him. But I'm kind of reading about this guy. Ray Urey had polio as a kid. Polio. Like, we don't have polio anymore. He was in a wheelchair as a child. He was told during his childhood that he wouldn't be able to walk ever. He ended up going to Purdue, running track, and he participated in the 1900, the 1904, and the 1908 Olympics. I understand that's, you know, back there. And actually, the events that he participated are events that are no longer around. That's why he only gets an honorable mention. It's like the standing long jump and like the, I don't know, boxing a kangaroo or whatever it was. But here's the thing. Ray Urey won 8 gold medals. He never had a finish anything other than gold. Everything he finished, he was 8 golds. His record of 8 gold medals stood for 100 years. Yeah, that's pretty impressive. I got to at least give Ray Urey a little bit of a nod on this. So he gets honorable mention. Honorable mention. 8 gold medals. Not bad. Not bad. Number 5 on our list. Do you remember swimmer Matt Biondi? He participated in the 84, the 88, and the 92 Summer Olympics. And he won 8 golds and had a total of 11 medals. You know, the funny thing about Matt Biondi, he might be most remembered for the one that he lost in 88. You know, he went to Seoul in 88, and he's leading the 100-meter butterfly. But when he got to the finish, instead of just taking a stroke and lunging for the wall, he kind of just glided, and second place touched up before him, lost that gold by 100th of a second. But Matt Biondi, with a total of 11 medals and 8 golds, yeah, he's number 5 on our list. Number 4 on our list, and the only female on our list, Jenny Thompson. Jenny Thompson was in 4 different games, 92, 96, 2000, and 2004. And in 2004, Jenny Thompson was the oldest member of the U.S. swim team. She actually swam anchor on the 400-meter freestyle relay, and they won silver. But she is the most decorated female athlete in U.S. history. She had 8 golds. She also had 3 silvers and a bronze. So she had 12 total medals. Jenny Thompson makes the list. Number three on our list, most decorated U.S. Olympic athletes. I'm going to be honest, he might be the greatest U.S. Olympic athlete in history. Maybe. He was voted Sportsman of the Century. He was voted Olympian of the Century. The key for Carl Lewis, he was pretty much great in everything he did. In 84, he won the 100 meter, the 200 meter, the 4x100 relay, and the long jump. In 88, he ran the 100 meter again and got gold. He got the long jump again and got gold. In 92, he had the 4x100 relay, the long jump. Clear into 96, he had the long jump gold again. He also has a silver in the 200 meter in 1988 in Seoul. Carl Lewis has 9 golds, 10 total medals. Pretty impressive. Pretty impressive. Carl Lewis, pretty amazing athlete. Might be one of the greatest athletes in U.S. Olympic history. Number two on our list. He held all of the records until just recently. And you know, it didn't start that way. When Mark Spitz first went to Mexico City in 1968, he was hoping to win 6, maybe 7 golds. He won 2, and he got a bronze and a silver. But in 1972 at Munich, Spitz won 7 golds in one Olympics. 7 golds. He finished his career with 9 golds, 11 total medals. Mark Spitz is right there. One of the greatest ever. And now we get to number one. Honestly, who else could it be? Who else could it be? Medal-wise, it is not even close. Number one on our list. 04 in Athens, 08 in Beijing, 2012 in London, and now 2016 in Rio. 23 golds, 28 total. Do you see the difference here? Let's see. We went 8 to like 10 to 11 to 11. It's absolutely incredible. 23 golds, 28. Michael Phelps. I mean, if you want to beat Michael Phelps at this point, my suggestion to you, make him wear his medals while he swims, because that's the only way you're going to beat him. Dude is clutch. And I know it's a different sport. I know it's not a team sport, but he shows up biggest on the biggest stages. Is Michael Phelps one of the greatest athletes? Is he one of the greatest athletes in history? I mean, you look at some of the great athletes. We talked earlier about Bo Jackson, someone like that. A Michael Jordan, a Jim Brown. Michael Phelps going there? Carl Lewis. I mean, he's a swimmer. It's a little bit different of a deal when you're swimming. Not everyone aspires to swim. Everyone usually tries their hand at running. Not everybody aspires to swim. Not everybody wants to swim. Is Michael Phelps one of the greatest athletes ever? I don't know. He might be. He's at least in the conversation. And as far as Olympic hardware, it's not even close. It is not even close. Michael Phelps is crushing the competition. Can I ask one thing of the Olympics? I talked earlier about the Olympics a little bit and some of the changes. Move up the broadcast a little bit. You don't need to start broadcasting at 8 o'clock at night. You can bump that up a little bit. Can I ask one favor? I see this in track and I see this in the pool. Can you stop interviewing the competitors right the second they walk off? Because here is how every single interview is going. Hey, talk a little bit about how that 100 meter just went. It felt good when I got out of the box. I was running good, and I just felt like if I could get a start. Oh my God, I'm hyperventilating just listening to you. Can you stop? Can you like think about when you want to interview them and wait 3 minutes and then interview them then? Seems like it would be a little bit better of an interview if you just waited a couple minutes. Honest to God, it's killing me. Hey, next week on the show, we will finish out the Olympics. Might have something for you on that note. NFL and college football are coming quickly. They are almost here. Got some things coming out on that. Major League Baseball, gonna have to start talking about some playoff races. And of course, as we do every single week, we will have our Daily Dose Top 5. You never know which way that's gonna go. Hey, you got a comment? Got a question? Feel free to email us, dailydosesports@gmail.com. You can also hit us on Twitter or Facebook, same handle, Daily Dose Sports. We would love to hear from you. Be sure to check out the website, see some of our college football previews, dailydosesports.wordpress.com. I think you're going to like that. And don't forget to stop by rogueintel.com. Check out the network of podcasts that they have over there. I think you are going to like it. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all next week. Have a great week, everybody.
Thank you. Small businesses. Direct Line guaranteed to be any public liability insurance quote for the same cover. Can your insurance do that? New customers only. Qualifying criteria apply. Underwritten by UK Insurance Limited.